people who could not fight them.
And, you know, we have to mention our mission from time to time, our mission statement. It's important as a matter of legal action to introduce into the record. We're going to certify at this time that the party of the first part, which would be us, the respondents or plaintiffs in the equation, wants to bloviate and scratch behind the ears and kind of settle down and get comfortable in the long, cold drive toward the extinction of the human race. I'm Dr. Howland Owl, and we're here on the Puzzling Evidence channel to discuss many important titanic revolutions occurring in the cycles of the upper world, including love's confusions. That same year, understanding the persistence of the past is only the first of the rewards of those confusions of eros or amor. Love, also the shrine of Venus, whose votary one must be. The special Venusian rites were performed on the island of Cyprus, and if you were a man, you certainly weren't supposed to know about them. And if they found out you'd been peeking, well, in St. Augustine, in Plato's Symposium, in the thrilling description of orgasm which appears in The City of God, Kant, Kierkegaard, Iris Murdoch, Ivan Stang.
I think the last one posted was the I should show that to you. Ask Dr. Hal show where John is trying to get you to go in one direction. He's so funny. Yeah, I get to cut that up.
He's trying to get me to talk about Superman's sexual shenanigans.
And it's fun. It works. The audience likes it.
Yeah, but you felt it was forced, eh?
No, not at all. I thought it was very funny. And what makes it in the video is the fact that two women are sitting next to the camera laughing their heads
off. Oh, I'm glad they're laughing.
Especially when you reach the super orgasm part.
Glad they like that.
And it really provides that, because you're listening, it's very funny. And then you get all angry at Chicken John.
I do. I should have been more.
The funniest part for me is like when I put the little lightning bolt in.
Yeah, I love that.
When you have to do pieces of business because they're doing their, and you're stuck out front there, So when you start making faces and when you pull the thing up, I'm thinking, that's good. That's what we're thinking. People twittered in the audience. They thought that was really funny when you pulled your third eye out, licked it, put it back in the eye socket.
Well, it's magnetic, but now it's not as magnetic as it was. I changed it for another one. I couldn't get the batteries to line up where the other one was very weak. So I found some fresh batteries and plugged it into an old one, but it won't. The magnet is very poor. It tends to want to fall off. So the good gag about the other one is I could just pull it off and then instantly put it back, and the magnet was so strong it would snap back in a second to where it was supposed to be. Anyway,
I'm practicing to take Chicken Joe's part here. I say stuff like,
"Well, of course he gets a lot of it from my music library."
And then everybody on this show gets their ideas.
Churchly like references.
Oh, I see. There you are. I'm sorry.
I wonder if that is any grain of truth to what he says about Theodora and Justinian. Or is the secret history just scurrilous, bitter propaganda with no...
They've been talking about
propaganda on whose behalf, my friend? Who would be the beneficiary of the promulgation of such propaganda?
I'm
Procopius.
They have been doing work around
here. I guess Procopius wanted to say bad things about
spaceship is flying
Theodora.
Differently.
I've been out of the mix.
Well, if you
had me mix so low,
investigate deeply enough, you can find the answers to most things, even why Odysseus gave up Calypso
to
return
to
Penelope.
K-Rob.
Which many shallow male,
apparently
including
Theodora,
this broadcaster, has undoubtedly asked himself.
Was a champion of women's rights, but Procopius, God, what Satan says about her makes you wonder if she was the most horrible woman that ever lived.
That's simply professional jealousy.
And I saw somebody doing a poem about
the poison of the artist, of the honeybee is the artist.
About Satan.
Satan's youngest born?
No, Satan is the youngest born of Lothar, according to Blake's mythology in his long poem.
Oh, yeah, Satan got bad press. He really wasn't
Really, he was just
guy.
The light bringer.
Satan suffers and whimpers and faints in that poem and is reprimanded and isn't even allowed to talk before Lothar cuts him off. So Satan is not operating from a position of power in that poem, which is, after all, about Mr. John Milton, who lived in London and wrote a long poem about Satan.
I gotta say that Anton LaVey opened my mind a little bit about Satan.
Sproying, going, going. Well, you should, because Satan, though motivated by idiotic motivators, nonetheless operates in a magnificent way, befitting his status as an archangel.
Oh, and LaVey's daughter, she was a really...
Do you know her?
Enticing.
I passed her on the street a few days ago, and she didn't recognize me. I was going to turn around and call after her, but did not.
Young Ginger and Tallulah are always trying to make me her new husband.
Carla LaVey? Well, I like her. I think she's got a lot on the ball.
She could convince me to become a Satanist.
Yeah, she loves
she
to
did.
Carry on her dad's work as the creator of the Church of Satan.
And if you believe that, I've got 12 bridges to sell you.
Much more convincing than her dad.
And you know,
she has more to gain and more to lose.
Have you ever seen the pithy?
Pippi Longstocking.
It's the woman who, well, she does many things. I know. She did at the dark room, she and her partner did a 11-minute movie from two or three or four or five quotes. You know, they got the audience to throw some stuff up, and it was one of those wonderful things where they start off at 5 minutes in, you're
trespassing,
they're never going to make this work.
Sean Owens
and
territory.
They pulled it out of the peanut butter and just finished. Anyway, the pithy, dad was a drummer for LaVey and other people in the city. And she grew up like Lucky in the show, in the back of the show with all the clowns. Diddling.
She had clowns.
She has these amazing stories of being in San. Well, no, she's a little girl in the era of Carla LaVey and everybody else.
'50s
and '60s. Right. So amazing San Francisco stories.
Just
about
strength.
I wonder
that Lucky will have about growing up in 2007 and being forced to be a. Stick. I've got this shot from
back then.
This show, it's now on YouTube,
totally done,
where the antidepressants don't work, and
no
the young lady is complaining. There's Lucky swigging on a beer bottle for
millions
to see. 'Tis
luck to catch a leprechaun,
no,
but nobody can do it except me. I give them massive doses of tranquilizers, mainly. They have incredibly high metabolism and love to scuttle and run around so fast you can hardly grab them, but once you slow them down pharmaceutically...
You never know.
It wouldn't have anything to do with that night at the Swinging Love Corpses show.
Adjusted to the world.
I don't know, maybe.
And off Broadway.
And they say that once you catch a leprechaun, you can compel him to tell you where his hidden store of fear is.
Either that or you're
going to
drink too much.
Oh, yeah?
You could have, like,
too
many
free
shots of
Jägermeister.
You could
be hanging your dead head out the
like
car
the,
especially like a dog. You know how a dog sticks its head out the window?
Better than regular
in a
gold.
Car,
it's golder
like lets,
than gold.
It's, if it's a big old hound, it lets
and
its
you
tongue
may
kind of just
remember
out
that
breeze,
this specific
and all the dog
type
saliva
of gold,
just goes flying
the
off
gold,
of the tongue,
which is cultivated
and,
by
and getting
leprechauns
all over the back
and
everything. And
it's also known as the gold of Solomon,
way
or Solomonic gold, and was sought avidly by Sir Isaac Newton, who in his time was not only one of the
contents
of
their
the Royal
stomach
Society, but
flying
also
all
the
over the back
of the mint
of the
and
car,
responsible for the coinage,
and back,
a serious
back
matter
there,
in days
there,
when coiners
right there,
could be
yes, right
tortured,
there, green,
torn in pieces
and stuff,
all sorts of things because
was
it was considered such
a
terrible
a
crime
being
to adulterate
to
the
someone
coinage.
Who had much
and,
more
Newton was convinced that some of this Solomonic gold had been adulterated into the gold that was circulating in England, and for his own purposes.
And there they are now.
He was most interested in alchemy, which he tried to get it.
Having trouble hanging on to the shaking earth.
Since he had his hands,
that's when they know that they've actually
flow
had
of
way,
gold moving through the mint.
Much to
and there was another matter he had to do
and
with
all they need to do
having
is find a
to do with
car
the coinage.
Happens to be empty.
It was the picks.
I don't feel feels so good.
Hooray.
The Pyx was a like special Burnett, box, you know? Which was carried into Parliament.
So I was at this Sweeney Love Corpse's, I think it was called Off Broadway.
The purest
and
gold,
I was at the,
and the,
at the show, and as soon as the Sweeney Love Corpse is played, I was surrounded by
epitome of the
beautiful distaff staff members
no
who
one
then,
could
carried
get into
me
it
into flights of fancy.
Was locked yeah. by
and then as soon as the band stopped playing, they just dropped me on the floor.
The only one in the world was unlocked.
Something about the Sweeney Love Corpse. I've done 5-hour Sweeney Love Corpse shows on this here very station. But right now, I'm dancing with my gold. It's all Irish gold, and it's all mine.
But beware, because they say that the fairy gold will fade away into moonshine and flappadoodle and leave you passed out drunk on the courthouse lawn. So you've got to take it with a grain of salt back in the happy halls of old Ireland, where tiny leprechauns go hopping over the hollyhocks until you slow them down with massive doses of pharmaceuticals, tranquilizers, and the like. That's the only way to catch a little leprechaun.
Yoo-hoo candy,
shaped like those tiny little bottles of Yoo-hoo chocolate soda, whatever it was.
Poor Card House. Where is he?
What happened to him, man?
He's just sitting there listening
to the show. He's not here tonight.
He was here. Perhaps he's now out doing his duty as a nonchalant.
Yeah, I wonder if he's one of those callers. I think he opted out, though, because he couldn't get around. You know, he had to go to the park to listen to your tape, and he couldn't do that.
Well, yes, too happens. Bad you can't. But,
I mean, it takes a certain amount of slack to do these things.
He might have had his own games. Encounter with the urban Sasquatch.
Love to see all of the tapes.
Well, I still haven't followed that URL that they sent me, but maybe it'll take me to some kind of video of the...
There it goes.
Earl? My computer is bewitched, and I can't stay at any social networking site or even at the browser for long before the whole thing crashes. And so it's almost impossible to watch anything on YouTube or anything like that. So
you have to go to Tracy's and have the laptop so you can play the endless YouTube. You make a favorites list, and then you just say play all, and they could play all night.
Play all and
all
forever.
The YouTube things, and you're painting like this. You're painting on the wall, but you're looking over here on the toilet where the laptop
YouTube.
Is.
YouTube, yeah.
Actually, Vimeo is another one. I'm about to put some stuff on Vimeo because...
Vimeo?
You hear the music. Vimeo, because
I've never heard of Vimeo.
You're not limited to 10 minutes. Like
Vimeo?
John Worley reading in the lit fucking punk.
And where do you get... Now you better operate the whatchamacopper.
Just did. It never went out into the air.
But how can you isolate the offending word itself and snip it out?
We didn't. We just chopped a big hunk out.
And so there's dead air for that hunk?
Don't mean nothing. Don't mean nothing. Don't mean nothing.
I think the computer just rams it back together and takes the bad air out.
That's really interesting. I wonder what the sound of that is like. Or if it just plays like a fragment over again in the gap.
I don't think so. I think it just closes the gap. And then get new clothes. And John Worley, he reads for 23 minutes.
At Lit Punk.
Yeah. And Rudy Rucker, who I have to do a second to his first thing.
Rudy is great. Did you like his reading?
So is Charlie Jane Anders.
Uh-huh.
Her stuff is wonderful. And it has a Bob reference, so nobody knows that yet. He's Rucker's stuff was great. John's stuff was fun. And I got there halfway through, so. It's so sad here on the show.
There was a way, a reason. I don't know what it is, folks, but for some reason I couldn't be there. I had a conflict.
A conflict?
Yeah, it was some kind of conflict type thing that I had.
I had a conflict.
Okay, you have the conflict.
I can't, when I got a conflict, I can't be there. Because I'm conflicted. So.
And that's kind of what was tonight. Tonight was a conflicted thing with everybody playing at sort of half strength.
Well, I wish I had known about that one, but I don't know.
Is that what happened?
Well, K-Rob was not there. He threatened to show up at late evening.
Well,
it was on a Thursday, and on a Thursday I'm just not available.
I had
an appointment with the podiatrist and the poodle groomer.
To know more
about
it.
So it looks like at some point... Ask Dr. Hal Stops, and you become... You do a show by yourself.
Yeah, it looks like, because K-Rob, I think, wants out.
Everybody's pooping out.
So it may be just me sweating up there. And then, come on, folks, give a guy a break. Boo.
No, nobody's going to boo. This is your town, and it's wide open.
No, I never have an audience boo, but often I have crazies come out of the audience to threaten me, you know, come up and try to
really?
Lead. And, yeah.
I missed that.
That's happened.
The old days, yeah, okay. Yeah. I was just thinking, I have tapes, not of whole shows, but of K-Rob moments.
And K-Rob moments?
Yeah, at the 12 Galaxies days. Oh, and Frank Shue, probably. I have a lot of Frank Chew. What can you do with a lot of Frank Chew after?
You can make a chew-a-thon. But I'm more interested in saying you saw Chloe Latchkey, and
I did.
It must have been quite
Paul from the bus. That was about it. That was
Paul DeJong from the bus, not Paul Pot from the bus.
Right, and maybe one or two other people, but it was really that. The new crowd, and the gifts were two tickets to Burning Man, which I assume are real.
Two tickets to Burning Man. Well, of course they.
That's like two tickets to Paradise.
Not exactly.
Bring out the Eddie
More
Money
like
song.
The other place. Frankly, it's not for everybody.
No,
but
two tickets to Paradise. That's what like going to Burning Man.
All these young folks knew Hollis, so they must be junkyard hangers on. We used to hang out at the late lamented Ace Auto Dismantler's junkyard and Speedaway.
Yep, and my Derailers tape went from maybe 140 people to now it's approaching 900.
She's in there.
Yeah, and I changed the comments things to www.friendsofhollis.blog.
Ah, that's cool.
I believe, I think it is. And that's the... And her mother's Antioch, Tennessee address is there, too.
Well, I always
like the way that
got
when
along
you're
really
off
well
and
with
you're surfing,
Hollis.
And you just turn the thing for a minute, it reconfigures it to be the other orientation.
Yep. And also, have you played with
once,
a little
however,
one of my favorites in I
attempted to remove one of K-Rob's lightsabers from our encampment at Burning Man, causing K-Rob to
go like this,
react as one might.
And there's a little shaky guy that when you shake it, is it Google? I think it is. When you shake the shaky guy, they're doing that XTML stuff you was talking about. And they're measuring how long you shake him and how long you make the little guy stick man dance on your computer.
Yeah.
I was reading about, I'll bring that in and read some of that on the air. It's really interesting how Google is dealing with trying to track us. And
yep, they're putting a little cookie everywhere.
I eat that cookie.
Me too.
I eat them.
I lick them right off the screen.
Stop that.
I can't.
Well, they are delicious. Chocolate chip cookie.
Yummy.
Yeah, that's...
Giant discs are like huge flying saucers.
We can't decorate a tree in $1 billion worth of sugar and flour and cookies and candy and then tell K-Rob to go to this place and he would drive the bus up and get out. There'd be this horrible, icky display of American sugar confectionery crap.
That'd
be fun. I actually made a friend. I went out and I think I spent $40, and this is in late 70s, for a friend and made a birthday cake for him out of every single kitschy piece of chocodile and Hostess cupcake I could find in all flavors, and nobody would eat it at the party. Nobody wanted to admit that they would actually go eat those wonderful orangey.
Just have to start a run on or get everybody liquored up, and then that inhibition would disappear, and they would devour those Hostess Twinkies in front of everybody and not think twice about it.
Right. I put it outside and my window at Hilliger's house, and it just sort of got smaller. It never went anywhere, and the animals didn't touch it. And the little rubber soldiers, the very same ones the guy uses in, what was it, Nazi Dinosaurs?
The Rise and Fall of the Nazi Dinosaurs.
I just watched that again today. That's so well done.
Yeah, even though, as I said, my viewing opportunities are not of the best, I still managed to enjoy that gripping yarn.
Was there some way you could plug in your back?
Which part of the grip did you like?
The Rise and Fall of the Nazi Dinosaurs. Have you seen it?
I just sent it to you today.
The first part is pretty good when they're on the plane waiting to parachute off to attack the Nazi
dinosaurs. Yeah, and he's got little breaths, you know.
Yeah.
They're little little rubber soldiers, little rubber guys.
So. And the clouds that plane goes through.
Yeah, yeah.
Everything.
Really cheesy and wonderful.
Right.
And the way he switches from a guy who's walking to a guy who's shooting, you know, he has little tricks to kind of make that look like a quick move on the part of the piece of rubber. And ambiguous ending, though. You're not quite sure what happens, although they do. They drive there. I guess it's supposed to be everybody's dead. And the comments are hilarious. Too bad you are a Nazi. Most people appreciate it. And there's a... Who's the parody Christian guy that I was looking at?
There's a Christian?
Well, no, he's a parody Christian. And it says right on his little YouTube channel description...
Not Reverend Billy.
No.
Well, of course, there must be many a person killing in the field next to the fields of the Lord.
Ah, yes.
But you know, why mock the old guy, the fellow in the bright nightgown? He doesn't need your jeers and hoots. He needs a little solidarity from all the folks here on planet Earth. Now, I don't know about his son, that's a different matter, or his mom, for that matter, as Voltaire said.
Yeah. They're still out there.
Yeah.
I just wanted to see if
the
little...
What, the son and the mom are still out there?
Yeah, well, the little leprechauns, they're looking for the gold.
Oh, my God, that's horrible, burrowing, chittering things. But, you see, you've got these characters, these strange characters, like Ludwig Wittgenstein, who says that there are no philosophical theories.
Right.
You know,
and
they
he's
don't
a
exist.
Genius.
If you try to explain it, you also fall back upon theses. That is, upon relying on the illusion that there is meaning. So
some people fall back on their feces.
Well, that is an exceptionally clumsy maneuver.
That's a bad idea to make that happen.
Yes, what we need to consider is. A response to specific problems relating to the practice of philosophy. In particular, the problem of the barking of dogmatism.
I don't know what happened. It's just a bunch of...
So was it good ninja, bad ninja? Is that the one you're talking about?
It was a farting ninja. I just sent you a bad thing this afternoon, too.
It's my pleasure to introduce you to Mr. Hal Robinson.
This is the
rise and fall of the
Nazi dinosaurs. Comes out.
Hello, friend.
Hal Robinson.
And I had serious music and church bells.
Yes, like someone just died on stage.
Because you go into this great serious poem, so I was getting... It's the Blake stuff.
It's also in super slow motion, I know.
Yeah, I slowed it down and added...
Well, that allows...
If you accounted wisdom when you are angry to be silent and not to show it, I do not count that wisdom but as folly.
The smoke machine is a good effect.
Yeah. Tackle it now. Thank goodness.
The starry hosts and the wheels of heaven to tread the mills day and night. Art thou not Newton's Pantocrator crater weaving the woof of luck? To mortals, thy mills seem everything.
Oh, good. K-Rob's really on the job back there.
What's that?
With piping in the right music here.
Oh, that's music I put in.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You can always tell my music, it's sounds like it's cleaner. Because his music is always going to be coming through the through the big speakers. Yeah. Yeah, I added that beginning just because it was fun. He actually didn't play anything for your whole beginning of that. Which was great. I could play with it. It's great fun to re-edit stuff.
Yeah, sometimes he does drop music in, though. Excuse me for misapprehension. I don't have a clear memory of what happened.
Of course, here. No. And you guys are flying along doing show. There's no reason to try to remember the pieces of it. Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't matter. I just like this sort of slightly produced thing that goes out and will revolve out there in the internet forever.
Yes, I know.
I like that idea. You know, like people will appreciate this 50 years from now.
Here we go.
It's sort of in reddened Eastman color.
Oh, this is amazingly interesting. Our audience
is
going
really nuts amazing.
Right now.
And it got teeny.
Flipping out.
It became tiny.
They can't believe it. They
now it's
not
Jip,
believe
Jip.
It's the music, man. It just kills everything.
More.
Press ESC to exit full screen mode.
And then
some waking up.
A recapitulation of the recent past.
Yeah, you can recapitulate your past, but what
you can
good
recapitulate
does it do?
You can recapitulate. You can recapitulate your past. You can recapitulate your past. Oh no, they're showing bestiality.
If you get in your pants past.
Yes, the dead
you get
man.
It on your
you
pants.
Know, I left a comment on somebody's film.
Who knows?
That was a funny thing they did.
Who wears the bears?
Hey,
the dead
man,
man's
I just wet your pants.
In the darkness. It's entirely Tourette-terrific. Grammar, logic, rhetoric, and Tourette-terrific.
I bet you haven't watched Atlas 23 or The Search for the Moth yet or anything.
Hey, why does it say editing disabled in full screen?
Editing?
Yeah.
No, I actually haven't. I haven't used it yet. I haven't used the moth or edited the driver.
Are you editing in the middle of an edit here?
No, it means
you can't.
I don't know. Shoe store.
I ain't editing nothing. I'm just sitting here.
I just made it small. I wonder if that means, like, you can't move the cursor. Well, it's in big screen.
Mm. Well, I wouldn't want to in any case.
At 8:45 at 4:03 in the morning.
In the 5
see here. Opening up a new CD. And, this
you could call right now and ask a strange question to a strange person and get a strange answer.
From the Strange Institute.
That would rock.
Because this is
Mrs. Strange.
I was trying really hard.
Strange Evidence Show. Isn't this the Strange Evidence
over here on the show
with your host?
And she was up for coming to the show.
Who was?
Young Chloe.
Oh, that would have been so great.
That would have been so great.
She was up for it, but she was very, very
tired.
No.
No?
I don't want to say on the air.
She was just not in the right headspace,
exactly.
If you know what I mean.
And she was even given a car.
You know what I'm saying.
She is in no shape to drive a car. So.
Oh, well, maybe they could drive her here and dump her on the doorstep. But so it must be when these things are so impromptu,
exactly.
and they are scheduled on a Thursday when I cannot possibly participate in them.
I meant to ask her how long it took her to drive from Portland these days. Because I used to drive
in their
to Seattle,
covered Conestoga wagon.
So fun.
Looks like either absolutely nothing's happening at the show, or it's slowed down to a freeze frame that never changes. Oh, no, it is. It is live. It is
on and on. I'm putting bookmarks in my.
Oh, that was the description of Sex with Superman.
She's Superman. Oh, well, that's.
You can back it up. You know,
hey, that reminds me of a joke, but I have to show it to you guys. Hold on a minute.
It is a visible joke?
It goes like this.
And the only reason he can is that his ability to restrain himself is also super. The only way he can
Superman or something.
Aha. Aha.
That was like from 10, you know, like when I was 10 years old or something.
Those, where do they come from, that, you know?
Those little jokes that...
Somebody creates them somewhere.
It's like a little factory of kids that make jokes.
Or the eerie chant of the girls that jump rope, you know. Who creates those rhymes?
There's a committee that we fund with our taxpayer dollars.
The landscape of dirty jokes is so bizarre and unreal and unrealistic.
Right. Have you ever thought about where they come from? How come people can
Who creates them?
Are you talking about sex to sexy?
Well,
I'm talking about playground-style dirty jokes, which involve the most improbable relations and motivations and sequences, you know, like... In a dream, or worse.
Like, what's a country girl say during sex?
Like the famous joke
of
the...
Get off my dad, you're crushing my smokes.
The famous joke of the aristocrats is typical of what I'm talking about.
That was it.
Because that joke itself has that kind of...
the aristocrats joke, you mean?
Yes.
Where the punchline is...
The aristocrats. Right. But the setup is in that unreal, dirty joke landscape that I'm talking about.
It certainly is.
But they certainly get more unreal than that. So, anyway, I now notice that the hillbillies are on. So you've got some of that action.
Beverly Hillbillies?
Yes,
I always try to get a little bit of the hillbillies.
No, the roof-dwelling hillbillies.
The female hillbilly is such a ham.
Yes. Well, I just hope it's not a tiresome or tedious routine, as so easily it could be. I never saw in the entirety of the hillbilly humor myself. You know, they interrupt me now. They used to interrupt Pete Goldie when he was doing his.
Oh, really? In the early days of this run.
I think it's more
the 13th year.
It's better that they come on and interrupt me. I think.
I think so too. It's better, just absolutely better.
You might consider Pete Goldie to be an interruption in the forward momentum, anyway.
The flow, as it was discussed this week. The flow of the show. I think that's the edit I did where he kept saying flow, so I chopped it all up and moved it around. So there is no flow. It's just a bunch of
no flow. Ends.
And then suddenly the show takes off and Superman.
Well, there is a flow, and I'm not saying Pete Goldie doesn't flow himself, but his flow isn't like the rest of the flow of the show. It's not the show flow. It's Pete Goldie's own flow.
Yep. Pete Goldie's.
I've seen it 100 times. I assure you, it is there.
There. Outermost reaches of the outermost stars that your mind could ever imagine.
But he talks about interesting things like the gamma ray bursts, but he doesn't say the most sensational thing about them, which is that they could wipe out all life on Earth.
I don't think so.
They could indeed. Gamma ray bursts zillions of miles away have ionized the Earth's entire atmosphere. All it needs to be is a little closer or a little stronger, and we're all X-rayed to death.
What's the likelihood of that versus the likelihood we're going to be hit by an asteroid?
It just happened.
It given the opportunity for absurd coincidences to occur, I would say it's not improbable.
Yeah, that last one he was talking about.
It's more probable that we would be hit by a cosmic gamma burst than an asteroid.
They might be about the same, or maybe the asteroid has a slightly better chance.
I'd love to.
I like the asteroid.
Get together with Pete and
sort of
put
like
his whole show on the Vimeo or something, where it didn't have to be cut up like on YouTube.
Right.
Yeah.
Because they're really fun to watch. Although they are sort of current. I mean, each week he talks about stuff happening this week.
Yeah.
So I don't know if we could really use a month from now, a year from now. Who will care?
Well, are you going to be on the K-Rob bus for Orgy of the Dead and the Incredibly Strange Creatures?
Oh, man, have you ever seen that, Orgy of the Dead?
Zombies.
You and your wife and your daughter would love this.
When is that?
The daughter? You'd really recommend that?
Sure, she'd love it.
Is it Monday?
She probably would.
Just watching the movie. Yeah, the movie will be shown Monday on the Applause bus.
On the bus.
But you should see it.
K-Rob's
bus. You should look up Orgy of the Dead. And it's Criswell.
In a graveyard.
Girls. Lots of girls.
And lots of girls with
being paid almost nothing to be in this stupid movie.
To wear almost nothing and wiggle around.
Oh, those are almost as good as those ones where they get paid nothing to wear nothing.
But it's Criswell.
They have to wear pants. I mean, this was made in 1965. that's all they wear. And there's some goofy rationale for them being there, like they're ghosts or spirits forced to perform.
Hawaiian princess is afraid of snakes. Well, of course she's afraid of snakes. So
it's like the lost skeleton of Kadabra.
And it's like one take wonders.
But this one's in color.
Like, you're on a very short shooting schedule, so everybody's got to do it as close to one take as possible.
And it's fine to see on the bus. It's a good movie to watch.
That's better than a shooting schedule.
And the scary little cave they're in is some astroturf on the soundstage.
It's
really
with
nice.
With Criswell pontificating in it.
It pleasures me.
Then they soak this one babe in a golden cauldron and make her a statue.
Maybe it was John Mabry or somebody in the early days of tape used to send me lots of I predict pigs will fly.
Well, I've seen Criswell come on talk shows like Dick Travick, Dick Cavett back in the
Dick
day.
Dick Travick.
Dick Travis. Yeah, he was a detective, I guess. But then there was also Dick Cavett, the Dick Cavett Show, the Carson Show, the Jack Parr Show, all those early shows. With tonight's special guest, Wilbur Rutabaga. Few contemporary philosophers in the West have reckoned with Rutabaga's complex experience of democracy, and even fewer have engaged with it as vigorously as Rutabaga does and will. There's a Rutabaga near you.
Don't hold out any longer.
I can't.
The Rutabaga waits for you.
For am I not the Rutabaga? Or actually, maybe I am not, as a matter of fact.
Maybe I am not a Rutabaga per se.
No, not exactly.
But the concept of the Rutabaga still is a valid concept to ponder.
Allowable hyperbole there, a metaphor for a troubled, turbulent civilization of microchips and moon rockets and militarism.
Chocolate
too,
chips.
In service of greater
and moon rocks.
Colonialism and capitalist expansion.
Do you remember those moon rocks?
We used to have moon rocks, yeah.
Moon rock was where they would take, like, popover.
Popover?
Popover.
I don't think we can have popover.
Popover. They would stuff them with custard, dip them in chocolate.
Custard.
Mmm, yum.
And serve them up.
Sounds like a cream puff.
It was like a cream puff dipped in chocolate.
Man, that sounds so good. I
served on a bed of bananas and whipped cream.
Yeah.
And flavored scoops on top of a mountain of 62 scoops of different flavored ice cream.
A few raspberries thrown in there.
In a bowl the size of California.
Like a bowl full of jelly. So take these
watches off. Well, I just can't keep from wondering how much this is all going to cost the taxpayers of this state.
Yeah, it's a state full of candy. That's
I mean,
what
this
we
is
need.
Beautiful to provide
to
ice cream for our population,
Caleb,
and I
bus,
know it's an unpopular stance
bus.
To take, but
on the Willy Wonka,
it's just more pork flavored ice cream in this pyramid of ice cream balls at our nation's capital.
One of my favorite moments is when we're parked there watching the end of these movies, and people walk by, and they're faced with this decision. Should they come in and sit down? Some think about it.
Well, they also wonder if they intrude, will they be turned away from the cool spot that they would
right.
like
or will they have
what was
return?
Really amazing was the John Law bus trip, because there were people still trying to board the bus who had to be pushed off, and John Law who had to be physically captured and dragged on. Otherwise, he would have been back signing more books.
Funny. I should have stuck around with the major people. But instead, I went right to the bus, sat down like a good subject. And
did you take off your shoes and start cuddling back in the nest with the Bevy?
No, I've never done that.
No, well, that's what you're supposed to do.
Maybe on this one with the...
Supposed to take off your shoes, put them in the big bag there by the door, and then crawl onto that huge mattress with a bunch of screaming, squealing, nubile ne'er-do-wells. Then the bus takes off through the night while you watch monster movies and loll and roll around. And what's the destination this time? Where's it going?
I hope the graveyard.
The graveyard?
We would come if we had someone to leave Lily with. But it's just too late.
Yeah.
This movie shows a lot of women wiggling their uncovered bazoons.
That's what I'm saying. You should, but
and you Lily, want to subject your child to
Lily,
this sight of
that's something
forests
horrible
of
for
waving udders?
Yeah, exactly. She's never seen that before.
Of quite recent memory in her case, but still.
Yeah, I think it's a family movie at this point.
It's according to your current hygienics, most families, in fact, could easily handle it, but...
The scary part is she would grow up with a deep fear of old men with white hair.
She might remember a strange night of bouncing around on the bus, you know, as it goes around the corner on two wheels while this bizarre movie on reels.
Yep.
On two screens simultaneously on the Odeon Applause bus.
All around her are people eating candy. I was really
crunching
surprised.
Popcorn
nobody,
and caramel
nobody
corn.
Threw up coming back down Grizzly Peak.
They threw
with
up.
All the, there, I was sitting at the desk. With,
I was swilling
was
down alcohol and wine.
It was this, like a huge bucket-sized thing of whiskey.
Pills.
Whiskey, yeah, pills.
A bucket of pills and a bucket of chainsaws.
That's
there was
all
some marbles
need.
In there, dyspeptic gorilla, and pretty soon you got a big mess. A big
Dimples
mess
the dyspeptic gorilla. Yeah, I recall. You have to bring the bucket to the zoo because
some people don't understand that.
That gorilla's going to heave.
That gorilla's going to blow chunks.
Yeah, he's going to blow chow. Any moment
he's gonna,
now. Gorilla.
He's going to hurl his breakfast
he
and
said
lunch.
It, pal. He's going to hurl.
We said hurl, didn't we?
Made it happen. Just the power of radio. The magic of radio, if you will.
What happens if everything on YouTube is true?
The fact
becomes
that...
Well, you can't watch it all at the same time.
Can make it happen for you. It's
and
beyond
you.
What
and
we
and you.
In this
and
show.
And you, and yes, even you.
And you.
But not you.
Make happen
what?
For
now
you.
What I'm gonna
the
do.
Listener.
Now what am going to do.
And the caller, who is the active listener.
There are many
we have found that
listeners
most
out
callers
there.
Do are also listeners.
College students. Why don't they get a life? Okay, folks, you want to know what to do about batteries? Well, take them out of wherever they are and take
them
to...
Put them in something else.
Well, you've got to dispose of properly. Make sure they don't go into the landfill. You want your batteries to go to a happy end in the old batteries home. Down here at KPFA 94.1 FM. Of course, so some of us have the good luck to be powered by
here in Walmart. Martin, those chain stores are all accepting batteries now.
Such a man is...
It's Dr.
Philo Drum.
Judy and Mary. Music fighter.
Music fighter, Philo Drummond. He fights the music like nobody does for you, the listener of the show.
Oh, my gosh.
Here's Philo in his nightgown.
Yes, and I can tell you, I've fought more music than any other subgenius I know. I've wrestled the notes themselves.
Upstairs
down the bowels of the measures and staffs.
In his nightgown.
Various other musical attributes that one must scurry about with when ensconced upon an altercation with the self-same.
Peeking
music,
through the keyhole.
So to speak.
Listening at
were,
the lock.
As if you could call it or classify
the
it.
Children in their beds.
Music.
For now,
maybe
it's 8 o'clock.
Music. Music.
Is this the...
Your flesh will...
Is this that conspiracy
that you stick a fish into and you say,
really? Have at ya, buddy.
And you will see
a dead fish up.
The fisher is so large, I
fisher.
Can't see the
he's
other side
fisher.
Of it, and I definitely can't see
men.
The bottom of it. But I am going to
he's
leap
a fisher of men's
into this
fish hooks.
Aperture. In the next few moments, I
give me your fish
hope
up, buddy.
That this will not be a sacrifice
up.
I'm making in vain, but someone has to do it. After all, a wise man once said, nature abhors a vacuum, and if it has to be me that plugs this hole...
Man, this is going
to
make
still,
me freak.
What, aren't you going to video it?
The whole
do you think if nature abhors
freak?
A vacuum, that nature loves a vacuum cleaner?
Well, I'm not so sure about that. For one thing, the contraption requires power and is multiply subject to entropic forces, being an unnatural
why
assemblage
not a
of
perpetual
objects.
Motion power unit
well,
that consumes no that requires no, no. It just works on.
You know that the laws of thermodynamics cannot be violated.
Counterbalances and
as pretty as they are,
they can't be violated.
On falling water.
The amazing thing is they can't be violated, but they can be stretched.
What if we just used falling water? I mean,
like
it has to fall anyway.
Frank Lloyd Wright's house.
It's going to make me free.
So you're using gravity. Gravity's
there whether you use it or not.
Right. Gravity's there. So your perpetual motion machine is tapped into an exterior source of energy.
Yes, it is. Yes.
It is not an inherent producer of energy. But so many of them use gravity.
What about
or magnetism. But the problem is to create a cycle that produces more energy takes more energy.
Well, not just that.
Even
with the falling water, if you had an endless supply of falling water,
then you have perpetual motion.
Well, but you still have the wear and tear on the machine itself.
Well, it was thought that perpetual motion machines would ultimately wear out because they never stopped running.
Right. And there is a such thing as friction and the laws of those types.
If you're using falling water as a motive power, then a water wheel is a perpetual motion machine.
That's right.
And so you see that doesn't really work quite as well as, for example, say you have a magnet, a powerful magnet that pulls a steel ball up a curving ramp. Just before the ball reaches the magnet, it falls through a hole and then goes down a ramp to back where it starts again, and the magnet again begins to draw it up.
Yeah, that one would have less power. Ultimately, it would require more power than what it could produce.
Each time, well, the magnet could be super powerful, let's just assume, but each time that it goes up the ramp, it ticks a little spindle, which gives it an erg of power, which it's transmitting outside its closed loop system. It's, of course, a tiny tick for a huge expansion of magnetic force, but magnetic force is not something one generally has to worry about unless it's an electromagnet. And perhaps it has to be, because if the magnet is not switched off completely at a crucial point, the ball will not drop through the hole. Instead, it will just spang onto the magnet.
Right.
And not drop. The magnet has to stop at the moment the ball drops through the hole.
And would you agree that a device like that, the main output of power would require a continuous movement of the ball, and any time it would stop would disallow any continuous power output?
That's right. It would have to be in such a fine balance that it would continually roll and continually tick the spindle and send energy out. But
and
maybe
would
it would have to tick another spindle to
force
cut power to the electromagnet.
Well, the electromagnetic force, you would say, would require at least one erg if it could produce one erg, correct?
You'd need actually a lot more. Standard electromagnetic.
Even in a perpetual motion machine, you have to agree that no more could be put out than what was put in, correct?
How about this, Milo? Buoyancy. Suppose you have on a pulley a bunch of little bladders, and one of them just goes up the side of a tank, but the other one goes through the tank, so it's inside water, and the balls are constantly rising to the top, pulling on the pulley the same balls down so that they can go back through the...
Well, I've seen something work like that where it works with wave action, where as the waves go up and down and undulate up and down, they pull that float device up, and as it goes up, it cranks a wheel, and as it cranks a wheel, it puts a little bit of power into a storage unit.
And so
it does that over and over and over again a jillion times.
And it is perpetual motion as long as we consider the mighty ocean to be perpetual.
That's right.
And for our purposes, it might well be. Still, this does not satisfy the stringent rules of perpetual motion, because once again you're just using an external power source which you're tapping into. Otherwise a windmill, assuming the wind would always blow,
it's not
would
true
be a
perpetual
motion machine.
What you're doing is you're tapping into a kinetic power source that's always available. It's just how clever can you use it in such a way that can produce reliable power.
We don't believe that gravity is a possible power source, but if we were ever proved wrong, it could have marvelous consequences for our technology.
And you really don't need it as all you need is a continuous power source, and then you can deal with the issue of, like we talked about, where the wheel in the falling water scenario produces the power, but the mechanism itself suffers from the physics of action.
Oh, that's a minor problem. If it always works, it does so much good that it's no problem to replace.
That's right.
But
and the miller, think about the miller back in ancient times who took advantage of that falling water.
Besides, back then you could just have the slaves fix it up.
The local serfs would bring and peasants would bring their grain and
under the
ground by the miller.
Direction of one of the guild of artificers,
he would apply the labor,
water reel,
the
wheel.
Labor
all the rest would be human labor,
falling water,
probably indentured or slave labor.
Well,
but
in that case,
the
they don't need slave labor. Why do you always think it's some evil overlord? Can't it just be
why
peasants?
Why did I say it was evil? I said that was their system.
Collective.
It's different from our system.
Self-interest.
But, although you can't go on and on forever, what if you could go on almost forever? Wouldn't that aesthetically satisfy the criteria? If you're,
well, that's exactly,
suppose your machine would run for 4 million years.
That's exactly why I think that if you extend the concept of perpetual motion to the outside, tapping into a free kinetic power source such as gravity or falling water, things that
yes.
are there anyway.
Now, it seems to me, in my
justifies that
ignorant,
point of view.
Uneducated view, that what you're saying is perfectly plausible if one can simply move the two points in the differential equation farther and farther away and somehow have it still work. If you look at the Earth itself going around the Sun, that's happened for an infinity of time and will happen for an infinity of time, and it's happening by gravity, just by falling.
Yeah.
Just by falling toward the Sun. And it makes all the rest of this other stuff happen. It generates a giant amount of energy, and since it'll happen for a godzillion years, is it not perpetual motion in effect? Of course, someday it will actually crash into the Sun, but it lasts so long that really for all human purposes,
right.
All practical purposes.
Perpetual, this is where you would use
so your perpetual quotes. Motion machine could actually use the standard power sources that the quacks throughout the years have tried to build into their perpetual motion machines, if only you would stretch it out so that the action, though limited, would last what was practically an infinity, although in
right.
effect a dieturity.
And that's why, you know, so many people are enamored with solar power and the other.
Oh, the sun is right there, burning
sources.
In the sky. We got to scoop up some of that. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's all going to waste.
Look at all that wasted power up there.
Hey, it looks like somebody's going to take off.
Gotta
into the wild blue yonder. How many engines on that plane? Four?
The Supercon.
You're on board a super constellation that's taking
yeah.
off?
Yep.
How did you manage that?
Super Connie with wing tanks.
It does. There's the wing tank out on the end of the wing. But what's this weird little bobbing thing on the outboard engine?
That's a gremlin.
It's a gremlin.
It just zoomed in on it. You just zoomed in on it. But it's out of focus. Blurry.
Oh, I think it's just smoke from that outboard.
Oh, just smoke.
It's
all
a
right.
Wing tank.
It was a hallucination. Just smoke. There was
no
little punched over monkey figure there.
Not William Shatner.
No,
it's really
but it did look
man.
Like. Oh, well, never mind.
Maybe you're not William Shatner, but you could be John Lithgow.
Hey, we're rising. That aircraft
Lithgow
is now
remake.
Taking off, and fire is shooting out of the one that the monkey was. Look, fire.
Did you see the John Lithgow remake when his
yes,
eyeballs
I did.
Popped out?
That was wonderful. It was directed by George Miller, you know.
You got so
I directed
so
Mad Max and the Road Warrior.
Yeah. With my conflict.
He almost
the whole thing
made up
the John
for the rest
Landis,
of the movie.
Robert Zemeckis thing.
The rest of the movie was a horrible. Steven Spielberg, John Landis, Joe Dante. Not as good as George Miller, I gotta say. The Spielberg one was particularly.
Spielberg is lying.
Which one was the Spielberg one?
The horrible Scatman Carruthers Kick the Can.
Oh, I hated that one.
That went on and on forever.
Way too long.
Terrible. Spielberg. The worst of Spielberg. And then the John Landis one is, of course, the one where the guy's head got chopped off.
Yeah.
And two kids, too, while they were making the movie. So they can't say no one's head got chopped off making this movie. Oh, because, in fact...
Oh, the two kids' head got chopped. You always forget about the two kids. You're always...
Thinking about Vic Morrow.
Vic Morrow, but who? What about those two children?
They're in the Vietnam scene, and he's carrying two Vietnamese orphans through the swamp, and a chopper is there whacking its blades, and for some reason, something got out of adjustment. And,
John Landis.
Tail rotor was blown off by special effects guy putting in too powerful a charge.
John Landis.
In a land device that blew the tail rotor Landis off. So now you have no control over the bird.
And it tilted.
And it tilted.
And it chopped Ed's head and Vic Morrow's head.
Chop! Here comes a candle to light you to bed. Here comes a chopper to chop off your head. Chop, 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 chop.
The sergeant to die. What was his name on combat? Sergeant
Sphincter of the Dirt Patrol. No, I'm sorry.
Dinosaur wasn't Sergeant Sphincter. Yeah. Colin Sphincter?
I checked E.
Smiling Sergeant Death and the Merciless Mayhem Patrol.
He will answer.
What are you doing up at this hour?
Just
go to sleep, little caller.
Answer me, caller.
You are up at this hour.
The right question.
Go to bed.
Uh-oh. Well, answer me, Colin. What are you doing up this
night? Answer me, Bob.
They're frosting the runway. It looks as if that big Connie might be in for a hard landing.
Frosting the runway.
Can't it get its landing gear down? This is terrible.
They're frosting.
Oh, no. A constellation has to land on its stomach. Look at that.
And they added the sound effects.
It's roaring. Does it catch fire?
Perfect landing. No.
It is a perfect landing, considering there's no landing gear down. It didn't even catch fire. It just ground its belly. It lost
they could do that
kind
of stuff.
They could probably burn all
the air. Too bad, though. Belly flop, they call it.
They were always doing that.
Here comes another belly flop in for landing.
Sometimes the pilots would just say, hey, I'm going to
another Connie? Did they have a problem with their landing gear not going down?
No,
this is no Connie.
It just happens to be. This is no crash.
Oh, yes, this is, in fact. Look at the sparks.
Well, in his case, it was right under the aircraft. He was teaching the French guys how to fly the PV-2.
And the propellers, of course, are bent out of shape.
And power up.
What a destructive thing happened to a beautiful aircraft.
And he put the wheels
Howard
down
Hughes
and
kept
then
them
the
in service, even though
broke the
their time had come and gone, because I just loved their lines. Such beautiful shape. What a wonderful thing it looks like as it flies. And there's
little pictures.
Two of them who did a belly flop landing. When I watch this here, not more plane crashes. Flight of Fashion.
Well,
these are your stewardesses' uniforms for this year. Look at these delightful girls. Wow, that's a stewardess uniform.
So for him, it was like,
why? Practically in
these. Yeah. And he apparently came forward.
Cocktail check
out there. We're going to land.
There's another Connie coming in for a landing. This time, landing gear extended. And I guess it got down.
Remember that Amazing Stories? Real. That's a Steven Spielberg thing, wasn't it? The Amazing Stories.
Wow, look at these women coming out. They are.
And the one where the guy had to draw the big wheels on the bottom of the airplane, the cartoon wheels.
Yes, that was in Spielberg's.
Did you like that one?
I forgot that one.
But isn't it a tremendous lie that you can't draw wheels on the bottom of no matter, even if you wish real hard, you still can't keep the ball turret gunner from being crushed when the plane lands without landing gear, except in Spielberg land, where he's a cartoonist, so at the last moment he wants to so badly, he draws wheels under the plane, and it lands on the drawing wheels, and the ball turret gunner doesn't get crushed.
Right.
But in real life, you gotta get your head into the space where you realize the ball turret gunner will be crushed.
And he's going to get his head in space.
See, in
somewhere.
The story, they can't get him out because they've taken damage in the back part of the
Jericho
plane.
Jericho Reese's grandpappy was a B-17 ball gunner, and he filled Jericho's head with horrible stories of stuck ball turrets. It actually doesn't happen that often, but it did happen where the ball turret got stuck from the flak, And there's no way to get the guy out, and there's no way to land other than smooshing him. And people went crazy from doing that.
Did they get him out, or did they smoosh him?
No way to do
it. In reality, he'd be smooshed.
Yeah.
It starts in Spielberg's Amazing Stories. There's a really beautiful shot of a Messerschmitt blowing up in the air, and an engine cowling comes flipping forward and crashes into the side of the plane, and it hammers the ball turret so they can't get the guy out, and they can't get the landing gear down.
It's so sad. That happened.
So in his that's what we're saying.
In his version, that it magically all gets better because a guy with a cartoonist with a magic crayon can draw a landing gear under the plane, and so he draws a wheel, and it's cartoony, but a plane lands on it. And then after they get the guy out, it dissolves away, and the plane
creaks. You're going to hell. You're going to hell because you made the little boy make coffee for his mom. 200 billion years later, you know, an AI. That's just unforgivable. The little boy was supposed to stop at the bottom of the ocean. Movie's over, that's it. But no. Well, they did have the nice alien shot. Remember that?
That was in AI. I didn't see AI.
I'd like to see it. I missed it. I wanted to see it.
I didn't want to see it. That's why I intentionally did not see it.
I expected I'd be irritated by it, but I'd still like to see it.
There are some beautiful pieces like that.
Cool robots.
The humans get together and have a robot destructo festival every once in a while.
Yeah, that I'd like to see.
By now, you love the robots. You know, you're really sympathetic for those guys, and they're all like, pooch, and hydraulic fuel. And the great shots of humans like,
You say there are aliens, like,
they're not aliens. They are evil.
They're not aliens at the end. Those are super hyper advanced robots. The humans are long gone,
but robots have continued to perfect
and evolve. And so what you see at the end are
flying scenes going
really
into frozen
super robots,
which I can show you because I do have that. I saved that on tape.
The whole movie,
the little software. Biobots or whatever they are.
Biobots.
Their plane comes together in plates.
It's
just sort of like
a
pretend
robot
shape or something around them. And the little biobots
activated
over a New York that's frozen to the top. Only the Twin Towers are sticking out. That's funny.
This is AI. Do you have a copy of it?
No, I didn't. I just saved a couple pieces like that. And no, it's horrible. In fact, like I said, I was ready to attack the screen with a knife. It's so stupid.
Steven Spiegelberg just doesn't play fair.
Judd Law playing a wonderful robotic gigolo.
He's a good actor. I like him.
He's great.
Him.
One thing about throwing you have to suspend your sense of disbelief. But it's one thing when you have to do that in such a way that you really, really feel guilty about doing it. Sometimes you have to watch a movie like that and you feel so guilty. You look at yourself in the mirror and you're red faced and embarrassed.
I'm not going to feel guilty at all. I want to see it. It's a part of my time. A lot of other people saw it. I want to see it. I want to see it. I want to see the movie.
You should watch the abridged Cliff Notes version.
Abridged Too Far. No, I want to see not only the whole movie but the director's cut and the deleted scenes and the blooper reel
and the commentary and the track. You want
and
to
the making
to
of and the making of the blooper reel and.
Did you ever watch the making of the Pipes of the Piposphere?
I did. I watched not only the Pipes of the Piposphere but the making of the Pipes of the Piposphere.
Did you ever watch the watching of the making?
Yeah, you're talking about
the
watching of the making of the pipe because I'm cutting. I'm trying to find these shots to pull together the making of your
didn't
shot.
You already do the watching of the making of Pipes of the Piposphere?
Yeah.
It's out on Puzzling Evidence, Steve.
Right.
And there were no snakes in Hawaii.
The making of the Pipes of Piposphere, I'm trying to do one of those right now where I integrate your shot with Stang's shot. You'd be funny.
Yeah,
but
funny.
The tapes are so old and badly.
Oh,
their little control tracks don't work anymore if they ever did, and they, you know it's really hard to get a good.
You're talking about Book Doctor Campout, aren't you?
Yeah,
The Camperiners.
Here, those scenes where you're in the trailer shooting,
you're on there.
Yeah, so some work, some don't, and also the stupidest TV show.
Remember
ever.
Remember to put your campfire out. Old Smokey the Bear will come and drag you out of your
sleeping
bag.
You know, on that same tape, if you wait till the end, there actually is a portion of it where Stang and Sterno and I go to a mill. That's one of those kind I'm talking about. It's an old flour
get
mill.
Get to thy labors at the
wheel.
Mill and leave me to my wrath.
Yeah, I watched
and
all
we
that
went in there and watched the big wheel turning and the big belt.
Proud Mary, know. Keep on boining.
And the good thing is when I woke up, you guys weren't there anymore.
They weren't?
Where'd we go then?
You went to the stupidest TV show ever, like some valley.
And you're speaking of St. Stupidest, he got a big shout-out in the newspaper.
Oh, yeah,
course,
I remember that. Stang is talking. He's ranting and talking, and we're in like an amphitheater that's all run down. Yeah.
It's a run-down two-bit tin
pot
amphitheater.
You go and loot the leftover Christian stagecraft.
Yeah, that's where we were. That's what the Christian...
Branson.
It was like a Branson Christian retreat stage where they all have their passion plays and stuff. And we went in there and like ran around the back and found the old, you know, communion trays and the crucifixes and the crowns of thorns that all the people had to wear when they came in there.
This is weird. Here's Bob's boy. It's all this religious stuff.
I am Bob.
And you've got 27,000 G's I have.
Yeah, that was horrible. Too many Jesus, you know, that simply is unworkable.
Can you have too many Allahs and too many Mohammeds and too many other godlike things?
I believe you can.
Do you think that perhaps that may be part of the problem?
Well, but surely we don't have multiple divinities with multiple approaches to divinity.
Here's a good
one. Which one you got there? It's, the music, huh? Franz Waxman. Great. Great stuff. He had great musical scores.
Yeah, this one is Sea Chanties.
Yeah, I've got
of course,
Sea Chanties.
He composed the music not only for Sunset Boulevard, but for The Bride of Frankenstein.
Yeah, I got this one.
This looks
it's got
great.
Got Shenandoah on it, which I kind of wanted.
Boy, I sure wish
blow the man down.
The Sunset Boulevard soundtrack must be great. And there's a picture of Franz Waxman.
Hi, Franz.
With his conductor's baton.
I watched Franz. Philo sent me a video of him talking about the massacre in the. And the other important things.
What massacre?
Are you talking about Stuckmeister Franz Hans or whatever?
Yeah.
Farstucker.
Yeah, he's pretty serious about stuff.
But
Meister.
But YouTube has lots of serious people.
That's so funny. That's just that thing just.
It's got
Ginger
a lot of good clamp
showed me that
stuff.
Like, hey, watch this. You're gonna laugh. I need to show this to all my people during the safety meeting.
Yeah. Remember the safety one that was on for the German safety film?
Yeah.
And I haven't found it for a while. I noticed that Brookie Cookie thing is gone. I'm not sure. Brookie was a...
Cookie?
A very beautiful Japanese Hawaiian girl. Who was just sang a song, did only like 5 or 6 little tapelets, and then stopped, and then her account disappeared. And somebody saved those, and then I just now was looking for them, and that guy's station has been removed.
Oh, that's weird.
But the only one I saved was an actual song by Shirley Temple, so I'm wondering if that's owned by somebody, and that's why it was yanked.
Yeah, the best thing to do is just save that stuff in a format that you can keep for yourself and do something with.
Yeah, that's what I realized. You really have to grab stuff because it goes away quickly sometimes.
Apparently, Waxman also scored Alias Nick Beale, which is about the devil, a movie I've never seen.
Nick Beale was Scott Beale's granddad.
Yes, well, they say Scott Beale's doing the devil's work with those flash mobs.
Yeah. Get him, Chronicle. Get him, policeman. Scott Beale's the ringleader you're looking for. And so Scott Beale was taken out to Boot Camp Hill. No, was it Boot Hill? Is it? What am I thinking of?
Boot Western. Hill is a place I've been. It's outside of Tombstone, Arizona. It's
Boot
just
Hill's
a graveyard.
Place I've been. It's outside
where
Virginia
certain people
City
are said to be buried. Not a very distinguished looking little hill.
And the one in Nevada.
There's some cactus and there's a low fence that's easy to step across.
It has a beautiful monument that says in very large carved letters, "Murder."
It's funny, a tombstone, you just want to get it out of the heat and get into a cool wooden building where you can drink a cold 7-Up or something.
You mean after your tour of the graveyard? And the?
You can walk around Tombstone. It looks about as pretty much like it did, or the last time I was there, it looked like it did in its heyday, in the days of the OK Corral.
Yeehaw.
A few TV antennas, otherwise, looked just like it did. But now, today, it must be. I haven't been back to Arizona for so many years. I hate to think of, like, the buildings that sprouted around the two desert dinosaurs. You know, I remember them as being alone on the plain, and now there are a million Circle K's and things because Claude Kenneth Bell couldn't buy up all the land around his giant dinosaur statue.
Yep.
As
are you
7-Elevens
talking about the Indio ones?
Yes.
Yeah, they are. As I said before on the show many times, I think they're completely hemmed in by buildings. It's an enormously different experience. Look at them.
One day they'll break out and trample those buildings.
Because I remember, I remember going through there and there was nothing. That was a long time ago. That's when Madonna just hit the big time.
But since then, the veil of Isis was transgressed and blasphemy walked abroad.
I met Claude Bell.
Wasn't he a great guy?
Wonderful fellow. That was after he finished his Brontosaurus. And I remember having doubts that he would finish that, much less the Tyrannosaurus.
Well, he did, and they both have a special look that he gave them.
He had a life-size miner with a mule sculpture that was around there for some time as well.
A distraction. He should have been working on dinosaurs.
Well, he had to amuse himself somehow. He had to waste
hundreds and thousands of hours sculpting the old prospector and his mule.
It's a couple of weapons.
Why did he do that? What a waste.
And maybe he got tired of looking at giant, scaly monsters, but
why couldn't you just have a real prospector and mule?
He's a very good painter as well. He did paintings after the style of Burian.
Now, when you go inside the Brontosaurus and you see paintings in there, did he do some of those?
Yeah.
I think at least one of them. I have to go there again. I live 20 minutes away from it, so I'll check it out. But,
see, I've gone by many times and stopped many times, but only once was it I ever there at a time when it was open and you could actually climb the stairway up into the Brontosaurus's stomach where there's some irritating teenager who doesn't believe in evolution. But they've got a great gift shop that he's running.
He doesn't believe in evolution.
He's inside a dinosaur's stomach and he doesn't believe in evolution.
He thinks that the dinosaur bones were deposited there.
And
by
there
God
are very crude pictures of cavemen, too, that look like they were painted by outsider artists.
He believes that Jehovah won a space alien caused those bones to appear in the earth to
they were created by God to tempt people into disbelief.
That
makes God a liar and a trickster, which
God
is supposed to be more of Satan's job.
But these
anti-evolution folks say that for evolution to be true, it would be as if a wind blew through a graveyard and assembled miraculously a 747 out of pieces of junk. But of course, they have it totally backwards because they believe that a miraculous divine wind blew through the graveyard and assembled a 747. You know, or in this case, man out of the dust.
People don't have any concept of how much can change in 250
years. Trying to have a logical argument when the other side is invoking the powers of an infinitely powerful being.
Well, that's why you can never win that argument.
They change the goalposts.
You can never win that argument.
They make excuses for any...
You can't make excuses
if you argue with people who have the ability to believe, have faith in the things that have no rational... concept and reality.
Like UFOs.
I've had discussions like this with the Faith on Mars people.
You can't win.
The Pinks on Mars?
Up.
The Faith on Mars people have a similar mindset.
So do the Holocaust deniers. So do the global warming heretics.
Heretics?
I mean believers.
Heretics of Doom.
You see, the problem with global warming is we don't have enough information yet. It's like,
but what about global warming?
Yeah, the problem with global warming is it's totally passé. It's like yesterday's news. Let's talk about global
stock market.
Nah, that's not right. It's tomorrow's news.
How about global?
It's ever present. It will never go away in our lifetimes.
Global warming.
It's like the whole trend is squiggly lines within squiggly lines.
Global warming will happen.
That's exactly what it is. It's just a squiggly line within a squiggly line.
It's like a stock market thing.
Let's just go with global warming. It's like people haven't talked about it much yet. It's a new thing.
Well, if we exterminate life in the sea, I don't know if we can keep on the land, really.
The oceans are above their present.
And why does it have to be global? Why don't we stop universal warming? Why do we have to stop at our globe? Shouldn't we worry about Mars and Venus and Neptune and all those other planets? What about the other galaxies?
The warmth is a biological disaster, but worse than that is the adulteration of the pH of the ocean water by too much carbon.
Too much urine in it. Too much people.
Essentially, the water of the ocean is becoming carbonated like soda.
And if people weren't urinating in it so much,
this will result in the destruction of all organisms with calcareous shells, corals, fish skeletons. In fact, nothing will be able to live in the oceans in the future except bacteria and jellyfish.
Have you ever wondered why they didn't ever make fish soda? Fish flavored soda? Or meat?
I think the
soda.
Japanese. After all, what about the Jones Soda Company? They make turkey and cranberry sauce and gravy flavored soda. They only release it on Thanksgiving.
Man, I need some of that.
I've often wondered what it would be like.
You know, I should break my diabetic rules and actually taste this
fabulous soda.
There's a market in the county out there where they have a lot of special foods, and one of them had like
special
shrimp flavored drink.
Shrimp? My dearest friends, if you're listening to this show, I salute you.
You might just send me an email just now.
An email coming to Dr. Drummond has warmed the cockles of his wintry old heart.
It's
caused the icicles to crack and fall away from his frozen brow. And his sneer of cold command.
He says, "Hello, good day. This is August Smith. With regards to your company, I'm sending this email to order
Mud Hog.
Mrs. Aurelio Gonzalez, Consul General of Ruritania, would like to give you $10 billion
in a private account. Also, if you accept credit card as a form of
carbohydrates,
stay blessed.
Greece,
August Smith.
And confer with law enforcement.
Greece, Turkey.
Why does August Smith want to buy Mud Hog from me?
Mud Hog?
Mud Horse.
Mud Hog.
Grass Mud Horse.
Not Grass Mud Hog.
Well,
just Mud Hog.
Nice well, you see, these hogs are actually a great danger to our planet.
And you can look at the bottom and see there it says only 29 of 31 packets were delivered.
Sorry, only one Mud Hog to a customer.
So that means the Ask Doctor Now Part 3 did not get posted before they went down for maintenance.
Oh, dang. Maintenance.
And from that moment on, the entire night, except for seeing Chloe, just fell apart.
That's awful. I hope you said hello from me.
I did, of course. She was asking where you were, and I said, Thursday night. You know, it's Thursday night. So worst possible night to do anything for some of us.
It's true.
In fact, I almost did go, but then I thought,
can't do nothing.
I thought of that handlebar.
You gotta be here.
The handlebar
mustache?
Yeah.
Hey, man, I'm loving your show. I used to do a show like this, something
like this?
Arcata, Humboldt County.
Oh, nice. Yes, temporarily Humboldt County.
Yeah.
That little case of Mogo on Wicca-Go-Go.
Yes, just a fireside, sitting here by the old fireside, chatting with a couple of guys on the show. You guys are absolutely beautiful. I've got your number online here.
Oh, okay. You're online. You're listening to KPFA.
Well, we aim to satisfy, and we generally fire when we're ready, and we keep our powder dry when we see the whites of your eyes. We
okay. I just washed your brain.
Blast forward.
And you'll be doing fine.
So, I guess...
August Smith sent me that letter.
Target in sight.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Appreciate the
let's dive into the data stream.
Thanks
and go around. Yes, a nice Australian crawl to the nearest pub.
Every week.
And back stroke. You strip mine and I'll strip yours. And of course, there's the dog pedal.
One and if you look on Channel X, you can see some of the stuff coming up in the
corner. We'll be rocking the night away into the least for the next 4 minutes.
How about kicking like a frog? That is a famous swimmer's stroke.
Kicking like a frog?
Kick like a frog.
What about kicking? Like, what about?
You've heard about dog paddle. Well, this is frog paddle.
What if you do the breaststroke and you have to stroke your breasts? Is that what you do in the breaststroke?
Well, I swimming, don't confine my attention to myself at X day. I
swim with
you. All sorts of
maybe
breasts are
you just actually
just
flap
this,
your breasts.
Important ceremony.
You can
in fact,
flap
that
your breasts
seems to be the excuse for
as
having
if they
the
were wings.
I'm not as bold and forward as some
like
of the people
wings.
You know who
depending
actually reach out and grab a hold of various women's protuberances during this ceremony simply because they can. But I hang back because I am an idiot.
You're addicted?
Addicted to love and in love with love.
Ah, yes. And what is love but something that you become addicted to?
That's
like
right.
Chocolate.
Chocolate.
Vimeo.
And collecting plastic dinosaurs from the plastic dinosaur warehouse just outside of Las Vegas, Nevada.
And going to the surplus store and surplus uniform store in Petaluma.
By Surplus of Petaluma, California. The latest fashions from the U.S. military.
Actually, it's all Wehrmacht and stuff like that.
It's from the Bundeswehr.
Yeah. All sorts of wars, all sorts of weapons.
These shoes were manufactured in the late East Germany, and they still like to goose step into your closet.
So much. It's so much fun.
That's how life goes, you know?
Yeah, so, yeah, keep sending me stuff that I can look at easily. It's so much fun. New smart toys.
Smart toys.
Make life so
smarter than your kids.
Smarter. It makes us.
You don't care about all that other stuff.
Oh, you think you're smart, do you?
You want to step outside?
Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, I'll hold your code.
Okay.